The next morning I spotted Stelos carrying steaming plates out to the nobles' dining room. After the dishes were washed and the day's grain had been delivered to the slave girls for grinding, he nodded hesitantly in my direction. I followed him up two flights of stairs, more than I'd ever seen in a single building, to a storeroom filled with badly tarnished armour, and over to a window on the far side. From up here I could see the entire castle square. Yesterday it had been packed with people, but now it was completely empty. Or almost so. In the dead centre of the square stood two bronze posts, each about a man's height, with a silver manacle on a chain hanging from the top. A stray dog lay between them, gnawing on a polished white bone. I turned back to Stelos. "What are you showing me? Those whipping posts?" He shook violently. "Not whipping," he whispered, looking down. "Then what are they?" I asked. "What does this have to do with the girl from the market?" There was a noise from outside, and I turned back to the window. Below us, two thick-set eunuchs were leading someone out of the castle. As she looked fearfully at the sky, I recognised her as the girl from the marketplace. The two eunuchs shackled her to the posts and retreated quickly into the castle. Stelos tugged my sleeve and pointed. "It's starting," he whispered. I looked, but could see only a tiny dust whirlwind scudding across the square. "What?" Stelos led me to the far side of the room and plucked a long thread from his tunic. "It's okay," he breathed, peering at the thread as it hung motionless between us. "They're distracted for now." I frowned. "Who? And what's going to happen to that girl?" His eyes flickered to the thread, still motionless. "Listen to me, Greek." Irritated, I opened my mouth to point out that I was Trojan, but shut it again. "The sooner you leave, the better," he went on. "They're everywhere, listening, even in the castle. Haven't you noticed there are no doors or shutters here, nothing to block the winds? And they listen to him too." This wasn't making any sense. "What's going to happen to that girl?" I asked, losing patience. He shook his head. "There was a time when the king was fair, they say, back when he was younger. But not now. The winds are worse now. No one even dares to get angry anymore, step out of line and get polished." I grabbed his shoulders. "Polished? Someone else said that. What is it?" "Those posts. That's where it happens." His voice faltered. "People get chained there. Then the winds come." He squeezed his eyes shut. "My own brother," he said, his voice breaking. "I saw him after. The winds, they..." He broke off, burying his face in his hands. "Don't make me say it," he whispered. "But Amira, they're coming for her." "What?" I blurted. "Just for spilling those pears? That was an accident. We startled her. Can't we tell the king?" He shrugged helplessly. "How? His court, they keep the people from him. Now he hears only the winds." He glanced up. "Listen." From outside the castle came a low, whistling moan. "They're coming." I shoved him aside impatiently and darted from the room to leap down the stairs. Speeding past huddled knots of courtiers and slaves in the hallway, I ran for the open front entrance and shot out into the square. Amira was standing between the two posts, her arms held above her head by the silver shackles. Whirlwinds of dust and sand flickered across the courtyard. Her hair was whipping back and forth in the rising wind. "Amira!" I called as I approached. She lifted her head in surprise. Her face was streaked with tears and dust. "Who are you?" she said. "You're not from here. Get back inside." I stopped before her. "It wasn't your fault," I said urgently. We scared you yesterday. We need to tell the king. She shook her head. The king doesn't listen any more. Not to people. She looked up and her face fell. Sweet Demeter, she murmured. It's too late. A dark, swirling funnel was descending from the clouds like the finger of Zeus. I don't understand, I shouted over the rising wind. What will it do? Don't you see? She shouted back. I'm to be polished. She looked around. There. She nodded toward a white bone lying against the palace wall. The wind does that. It picks up the sand and polishes. When it's done, there's nothing left. Just bones. She squeezed her eyes tight. Sweet Demeter, she called. Please don't let it hurt. Not too much. I've always saved my best offerings for you. The chain rattled in the rising wind as I reached up to examine the manacles. The mechanism holding them closed was a simple clasp, but it took two hands to undo. What are you doing? Amira shouted over the wind as she saw me reach up. Getting you out of here. You didn't do anything. This is insane, I shouted back. It's too late. Look, she shouted, pointing up. I quailed as I saw the approaching finger of cloud, now nearly level with the tower atop the castle. The first manacle popped open as I twisted it, and I moved to the second. The wind was shrieking now, tearing at my clothes. Sand whipped into my eyes, stinging my cheeks painfully. I closed my eyes and groped for the manacle by touch. The clasp was stuck, and as I worried at it with my fingers, the roar from the wind took on an angry note, as if it realized it was being cheated.